Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Matthew 9. You know, I guess I'm already messed up, so it'd be a little discombobulated today. I apologize. You know, I guess the reason why I have a great deal of emotion about the particular series we're starting is because, well, you can't go to Matthew for me to answer that question. Go to Luke 4, 18. This was so beautifully put together for me to be chopping it up like this. But you got to understand the why. Before I started 15? So while we were still in 14, God began to speak to me about this church. That's why my emotions are high, because you deserve the word of the Lord. And this is the scripture that he gave me, which doesn't seem exactly relevant sometimes because it's more applicable to him, but we're the beneficiaries of something versus the doers of something. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I guess I'm building up to a level of repentance with you guys. I guess the thing that makes me emotional beyond my personal is that I know that this is a word for this church that was given at the beginning of the year, but I wish, sometimes you shouldn't go back and look and regret, but I wish I'd amplified it more and more, because when the promise found its way on the pages of this particular sermon, it made me remember all of the times he spoke this level of personal care to me and to us as a body. This is not him giving this corporate statement of I'm going to corporately just give. This is so personal to him. I am personal to Jesus. You are personal to Jesus. When he is telling you, I can personally show up where you're at and I can meet your need, your most fundamental need is to be saved. Then you got some physical frailties that need to be healed or adjusted. You've got some entanglements, some demonic torturings and torment that need to be abated. And not only that, this year, and this is the year of the Lord's favor. Because it's December and I feel like it didn't even get, I'm begging God to say it to me again. In 2016, I don't know how he's going to weave it in with the other things he's telling me, but I just remember that it's better to pick up something ignored, dust it off, and start using it than to just say it's a time going by. Because you wouldn't, if you find something valuable, you dust that off, you shine it up, and you start using it. And I hope that when you read that scripture, you see that God is telling you that he has everything that you need that pertains unto life and godliness. That what has been on you, zapping your energy, making you approach things one day with joy and adoration, the next day with extreme frustration, that you know, that high you have, and then that dip is low. It's all demonic, by the way. It's the way the enemy or the adversary can try to chop you down as fast as you grow. But the Spirit, the anointing on Jesus, is there and was there to make the difference in our life. And I'm so grateful. So Matthew 9. Look at the condition that we find ourselves in when the gospel is most needed and when this anointing that is on Jesus is most needed. And Jesus, verse 35, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and healing every disease and every affliction. See, people sometimes don't identify with the disease part because, see, that's just a percentage of people might be healthy. A percentage of people might have terminal diseases, and some have temporal diseases, a common cold. And somehow that part is the greater emphasis, the infirmity. But I love the fact that he puts in the scripture every affliction. Every affliction. Afflictions can be multiplied in your emotional realm. They can be irritants. They could be other people. Probably they are other people. They are afflicting things on you themselves. And God is wanting to heal you from having to react negatively. God is trying to heal us from thinking that there's something that we've got to figure out in our own strength. When he saw the crowds, that would be us, the crowds in the cities, the crowds in the villages, all those people throughout, the people who were in the synagogue and the churches, that's us. He had compassion for them. God is feeling this way about me because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You are most helpless and most harassed when divine leadership is not available to you or acknowledged by you. You actually can find yourself walking into more affliction and more helplessness and more disease because you have thought and I have thought that we can arrive at good places independent of God's structure and covering through shepherding of parents or leaders or spiritually. There is no way to avoid the trap with the eyes you currently have. The body of Christ is designed to function together to function best. And that's why when the enemy can pick your coal out of the fire and set it by itself, it will begin to wane in the flame and dry up. I'm already going to have to do this like a two-part. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In other words, the number of people harassed, the number of people helpless, the number of people who are sheep without a shepherd, who end up diseased and who end up afflicted. Well, guess what? They're numerous, but the laborers to help them are few. Pray, therefore, to the Lord of harvest that he would send laborers anointed like him, assigned like him, powerful like him, doing this work and greater works. The anointing of God
should satisfy us that we might satisfy others. But you know, typically what happens in a message like this, in miracles, there is a singularity where we hope that the day of our miracle has come versus thinking about the empowerment that comes to become a miracle worker like Jesus. And if you and I get stuck on just our helplessness, on just our affliction, and just our harm, then we will ignore all of the harvest that needs to be embraced by the gift of God that is on your life that you have experienced and therefore you can give to other people. God is not ignorant that we need to first be ourselves made whole and fixed from our broken conditions. I've got to jump in. Go to, I'm going to say that. This world currently gives you the sense of a downward turn from the position of your faith. Whenever you see a downward turn in the world, you should see an upward tick upon the inside of you. Hallelujah. To deal with the downward turn. God's always going to counteract the negative in the world with the good in you. And here's the proof. It's why we're in the Advent season. Here's the proof. And what is that, Isaiah 9? And he says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." I know y'all tense about the government. Candidacies is looking, you know, don't want to get political, so both sides looking kind of rough. Just rough, just both sides. About the moment that you hear one small thing good, you hear other stuff that scares you. And then you feel powerless, don't you? And then you just feel like, well, gotta pick somebody. And you just try to pick who's ever got the least amount of hangups. And they're happy. Like, that's the best it can be. Because our hope somehow has become on the government and its system and its structures. But what this season is designed to teach us, that there was a child born, a man born, who takes back the authority that the enemy thought he had obtained in this world. And he puts the government and the structure back on his shoulders, so that when things go down, the people of God who have the anointing of God can take them back up. The government is on his shoulder. The authority is on his shoulder. The strategy is on his shoulder. The system is on his shoulder. The solutions are on his shoulder. And guess what? They are in you. And if you don't believe that God can and does and will work miracles for every affliction, if you don't believe that his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, you can get the wisdom you need, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I don't care about ISIS. Young man came to me, young, in his teens, in the prime season of going into the, and was gripped by fear that some type of terrorist act is going to snuff him out. That's the virus that it puts out. We might get you anywhere. Don't go nowhere. Stop. Who? Well, that's the, we are the antivirus at church. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. I'm not a religious fanatic. I'm a Christ-centered, Christ-anointed, Christ-assigned, going into the harvest field of the afflicted, the deranged, and taking the governmental authority that God has given me, not by stripping it out of your hands, but by speaking the words to bring light and life. The problem right now during this holiday season, the problem in our government is, you know what? We don't find Pastor Fikri. We don't find laborers showing up on the news, showing up in the schools, showing up in the government saying, here's what thus saith the Lord. And I started looking. I said, what's wrong? It's our voice is muffled because of laborers. Won't go out into the harvest field because somebody has told you, be afraid. We'll get you. Be afraid, we'll take your life. Be afraid, we'll take your home. Be afraid, we'll take your peace. Be afraid. Don't you speak up. I dare you to say Christ is the way, the only way, the truth, and the life, and then disrespect all the other religions. Well, I'm saying it. Ain't no other way. There's only one name given whereby men can be saved, and that is the name Jesus Christ. Ain't nothing changed then, ain't nothing changed now, nothing gonna change. You can shout it in here, we can shout it on the news, nothing gonna change. It ain't multiple ways, it's one way. I'm not gonna get a good message. Gosh. It's on his shoulder. A miracle, I'm going to go as far as I can go and y'all just get the rest from another service. A miracle is a divine intervention or interruption to the natural course of a thing. So the statistic or the virus or the affliction is preaching to you what the end result will be. And that you need to relax and deal with it. And there's nothing you can do about it. And as a matter of fact, we haven't found anyone who can do anything about it. And the miracle shows up when the miracle worker shows up.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have a miracle without the miracle worker. You can have an anomaly.
Yeah, right.
You can have a one in a billion chance. You can have, just through the natural progression of things, that strand in you didn't really, you know, produce the full manifestation of the disease. But to get the miracle, the interruption to the natural course of things, you necessarily have to have the miracle worker working on your behalf. Now, here's the problem, is that if we get to the story today, you can have the miracle worker working on the ends, working for you, but not recognize it's him. And then take credit for his work and move on with your life, only getting the benefit of the removal of the affliction, but yourself being estranged from eternal life. Many people are coming to churches and back then synagogues to get something from God, but not get God himself. Some just want a rule. Some just want benevolence. Some just want the healing. Some just want the breakthrough. But wanting him is not the objective. Let's go to John 9. Let me show you a pattern, but not an exclusive pattern, of how the miracle worker invades your life, but to what end he's really trying to achieve. As verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go wash in the pool. He went and washed and came back seeing. So you see, the first thing you need for a miracle is for Jesus to come by and see you. Harassed, blind, afflicted. The next thing you see is how people see the blind man. Who's seeing? Because we know somebody did. Him or his parents. See, they believed in the transmigration of souls, or that a baby could sin even before they were born. They believed in this thing that you could do something beforehand that could produce infirmity in your life. Now, this is not the overall sense that we have all sinned and we live under, you know, sin, and anything bad that's happened is because of it. This is saying there is no direct result. There's no direct consequence for a specific sin that they've done that has produced this infirmity. He says, the only reason this is here is so I could do my work and I could be glorified, because I've got to work, and I've got to work while it's day. I'm the light. I've got to do work. What is the work? I've got to work a miracle. This setup, and however God just allows life to happen, however it's going to happen, he makes divine appointments to make a difference in your life. I know you're carrying affliction far longer than you want it. But I'm going to tell you something. You've been carrying that affliction for a year, you've become stronger. You still on this planet, you've been carrying that affliction for 5 years, you're even more resolute. This guy's not in the house so depressed that he's eating himself to death or sleeping himself to death. This guy is out at least begging. And I know that you're going to look at his condition like, man, that's just a beggar. But he's alive. None of us choose our lot in life. You didn't choose the parents you was born to, nor the street you would live on. That was chosen before you got here. Your skin color, your eye color, your height. Look, certain things were pre-worked out, but it wasn't for your destruction. It was that you might get a greater revelation of Jesus. And I'm telling you, it may not seem like life is just coming down to a revelation of Jesus, but it is. Life is coming down to you and I getting a pure revelation of Jesus Christ. And when he works something in you that you can work in it others, the man who was blind received something from a man that he didn't know, because the harassment of his life made him vulnerable enough to receive anything, even some mud would spit on it. You hear me now? Is your harassment still got you so angry and bottled up you can't even receive the answer? Let go of anger. You still, can you receive the answer? Forgive. Or are you still so uptight with your bitterness and why everything didn't go right? And if God loved you so much, why did he even? Are you still stuck there so long? This blind man said, I'm ready. Even if it looked like some mud with some spit on it, give it to me. Even though I got to ask for help for where the pool is. You could have helped me. Heal me. You gave me some mud in my eye. Tell me, go wash it off. Well, guess what? I'm so desperate. I'm so harassed. I'm so helpless. Guess what? I'm going to accept that work, and I'm going to work with you. Yeah. Funny how when miracles work, sometimes person got to work with them. Pastor Harry Gomes from India, our friend, he's had many healings, and one thing he'll do when he's, well, this is, we're a charismatic church. You know we believe in raising the dead, right? One of the things he would do when he raised the dead is tell the person, get up. He had to say the word, but the person had to get up. Person in a wheelchair, he'd say, rise and walk, but they got to get up and use those legs. Remember Pastor Harry Gomes came right here, and the man had a stutter all his life, reached in his mouth, grabbed his tongue, prayed for him, and then said, now you got to speak, and he spoke clear. What's my point? When the miracle is being worked, you got to go wash in the pool. You've got to participate with the miracle worker. Now, the second thing that happened, and I'll speed this part up, is he got healed. And the first, well, I'll read the first part of this because it's funny, which is not the only reason you should read the scripture. And the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit in bed? Some said, is he? Others said, no, but it just looked like him. He kept saying, I'm the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes open? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go wash in Siloam. And so I went and I washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I was blind. How am I supposed to know that, where he went? I just found out what the street looked like. See, that's why you don't start that. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eye. So the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, the man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Isn't that deep? They more concerned about the rule they perceived that he broke than the miracle that just happened. But the other said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them, so they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? Now, wait a minute. What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? You are a witness. This is not something that you cannot perceive to be true. This is something you know to be factual, know to be actual, know to be true, but yet you playing games. And the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see, mama? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He was speaking. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus as Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. See, this is the thing that the enemy is trying to do. He is trying to muffle your voice. There, the church in the miraculous saving of souls, the spiritual gifts, the healings, the miracles that have happened that are countless, that are undeniable. There is no one on record denying the miracles of the Old Testament. These Pharisees know that miracles happen. People are not denying miracles. In fact, 80% of Americans believe in miracles. But they don't want you to say anything about Jesus. Stand to your feet. If I would be able to finish the story, that blind man, as he was continually interrogated, they kept saying, man, do you believe in Jesus? Are you one of his disciples? He said, you know, this man is a sinner. He broke the Sabbath. He said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I just know I was blind and now I see. And I don't think that anybody that can do this type of miracle could be a sinner. I believe that they're from God. And they said, yeah, you're one of his disciples. Because they had already decided that any one of his disciples would be kicked out or excommunicated from the synagogue. That means you couldn't come worship there. That means that no one could sell you stuff, give you stuff. If you were a beggar, nobody could partner with you anymore. But he willfully accepted his expulsion. Jesus found him at this moment when he got kicked out. Now, I know that some of us, our voices are muffled about the things that God can do or has done in our life because we don't want to get kicked out. But it took him getting kicked all the way out. I can't guarantee you that standing up for Jesus Christ won't they cost you something. But he considered what he received from Jesus more valuable than the price of man. Because the fear of man is a snare. And Jesus came to him, revealed himself, and he had never seen Jesus. He said, show me the man. Show me the man that helped me so that I might believe in him. Jesus said, I'm the man. And the Bible says he called him Lord and worshiped him. And the Pharisees heard it and said, what's up with us? He said, well, you condemn because you see and you don't worship. You don't receive me. See, the miracle was only the smallest part.
Yeah, that's right.
The greatest miracle of all is making Jesus Lord of your life. I love that Jesus doesn't leave you at breaking through with your physical ailment. He wants to break through to your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed, ministry team, come down. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus as we leave this service that we will recognize that the miracle worker has worked a miracle in our life, and it is not just the removing of our affliction or our infirmity, but God, it is actually that you are presenting the good news that Jesus Christ became a man, or God became a man in Jesus Christ, and he lived like we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. And 3 days later, you raised him from the dead, that he can give salvation to those who submit, confess, and believe that he is Lord. I pray that today, as we dismissed it, many will come down and accept the miracle of salvation for the first time. Many will come down and receive the favor of God that you promised at the beginning of the year to this congregation, that affliction would be removed and disease would be removed. God, I pray that those that need salvation will come, and those that need the removal of affliction at the conclusion of the prayer will come. Bless us as we leave this place without your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. God bless you. You're dismissed. Whatever your needs are, we're here to help you. God bless you.